Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless.
Now, this is different for me. Normally, when I've had something I wanted to share, I'll, through my Bible study and reading, I'll come to a passage and God will just like open my eyes to something. I'll get excited about it. I want to share it. And I'll use that scripture and kind of pick apart that part of scripture. But for the past couple weeks, even before I knew that I would be speaking today, God has just kept laying this word on my heart, perspective. Perspective. And it just kept coming back to me at different times. And so when the opportunity for me to share with you came this morning, I said, okay, God, what do you want for me to say about perspective? So I've studied and I've pulled some stuff together, and I hope that it will bless you and that you can just kind of, in some way, get an idea in your head of what I have in my head. And that's asking for a lot. There's crazy stuff going on up there sometimes. But the definition of perspective in Webster's dictionary is a particular attitude toward or a way regarding something, a point of view. Okay, so a point of view is what really makes sense to me and what I want you to kind of latch on to. Some synonyms for perspective are outlook, view, viewpoint, standpoint, position, stand, stance, attitude, frame of mind, frame of reference, a way of looking or interpretation. So for our purpose today, I want you to think of perspective as the way you view the world. When you look out at things happening and going on, when things occur in your life, when things occur in the world around you, what's your perspective? What's your viewpoint? How do you see it? So I have this really great clip, and it was Francis Chan was talking about the greatness of God, and he had a video that started out, and it was looking at a mountain, and then it slowly pulled the like satellite footage where you're looking at the world and you're looking at the universe. It was really awesome. But of course, our internet is not working this morning, so I can't share that with you. And then I also was going to do something really cool that you guys can do on your own, even if you have a phone now, where has anybody ever gone on Google Maps and looked at the satellite view of something so that you could see a storefront or you could see a picture of the place where you're going? I was on my way home from work a couple weeks ago, and I saw this weird little car driving down Route 1. And it had this big pole on, it's like a Prius, I mean, tiny little car. But it had this big pole on the top, probably 6 feet tall. And all these cameras all over it. It's like, what in the world is that? And then on the side of the car, it says Google. And I was like, that's how they get all those pictures. Some guy or girl is driving down the road, and it's just snap, 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 snapping pictures so that we can get those 360 views, the street view. Right? So I did that for our church. I looked at the Google satellite view of our church, and it starts out kind of looking down on the parking lot, right? Which is pretty neat. And then you can scroll in to get a closer view, and you can get all the way up to like the front of the church with the sign, Revive. You can see through the windows. It's pretty neat. But then if you scroll out again, you can go up and these views, I guess, come from airplanes or, what are those little things that fly around now?
Drones,
yeah. I'm thinking that maybe drones, because, I mean, they're pretty close. They're not low enough for a helicopter. So they must have those taking pictures and stuff. And you can scroll out more to, like, an airplane view and look down, like, if you were ever in an airplane and looking down and you kind of see that map-looking type of view. You can scroll out all the way to where So Google's got satellites out there taking pictures of the Earth as well. It is so, like, mind-blowing, right? I mean, you're like, here in one point of view, one perspective, I could go walk out into the parking lot right now and see the same exact view as that Google driver saw when they took their picture, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that. That's my church. I got it. That's so cool, right? And I can come in here and I can see each of you up close, personal. That's my point of view. That's my perspective as a human being. But the higher I go, the different perspective I get, mm-hmm. right? The higher I go, it's not about all necessarily the little details as it is the big picture, mm-hmm. right? And the more that we dig into God's word and we get into our relationship with him and we grow closer, I believe that spiritually our perspective expands.
Amen.
Right? We expand to outside of just ourselves, just what's so important to us and our need. We expand outside of just that circle of friends and family, and we get a worldview perspective.
Amen.
And even more than that, we get a kingdom perspective.
Amen.
God has purposes and plans for each one of us.
Yeah.
The Bible says he has predetermined good works for each of us to do.
Yeah.
When we know him, when we call him our Savior and Lord, he says, okay, I've got a path for you to follow. And if you will open your eyes to my perspective, I will lead you down that path.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And it is bigger than you can imagine, than I can imagine. It's bigger. The only way we can have an understanding of what it is that God has for us in life is to get his perspective, that big satellite high world view.
Wow.
And we get that through looking at his word. I feel like so many times in life, the devil just throws things at us left and right. We think, okay, things are going good. And boom, something gets thrown at us, right? We think, okay, I've got it settled now. And then kaboom, something comes through. So we don't take the time to get a higher perspective. So I think it was awesome that Matt had us read Psalm 23, because in there it talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I think a lot of times Christians, and even people who aren't Christians who just kind of look at God and say, Lord, what if all this bad stuff happen? Right? We go through life, we go through a bad time, a valley of the shadow of death, and we think, oh, God's not with us, or God's mad at us, or why is God letting this happen? But the word is very clear that we will go through bad times.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go through times that break our hearts.
Right.
Right? We will go through those things. But if our perspective is on that great big God that we serve,
mm-hmm.
we can remember that he walks us through
Amen.
Those circumstances. He never leaves our side. And we can know that at the end of whatever we're going through, that there will be something great. There will be something good. He works all things together for our good.
Amen.
Right? So how do we get to that high-level thinking, that perspective? We have to build a foundation, right? And that foundation comes from knowing God and knowing his word. You got to stop grinning at me like that, because I'm like, what? I hope he has this little, like, sweet smile. I'm like, what's wrong with him? Sorry, squirrel. All right, so back to the perspective. I was reading this verse that's in Matthew 7:24 through 27. All the kids should know this verse, so when I read it, you guys think about the song I'm thinking of, okay? Matthew 7:24 through 27 says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rains came, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And the fall was great. Anybody know what song I'm thinking of?
Mm-hmm.
Wise man built his house upon the rock. Great. And the foolish man's house went splat. Right? So, when we look at this, we see that there were two men. They both built a house, right? And storms came at both of them. It didn't matter that one was wise and one was foolish. The storms came. And they were big storms. It wasn't just like pretty summer rain. It said the rains came and the winds blew and the floods rose up. They were possibly devastating storms. We've experienced some of those around us and definitely in the world around us recently. Devastating storms. The difference was in the foundation of the homes that these men built. If our foundation is not on God and His Word and the truth of His Word, the unchanging truth of His Word,
right,
then we're building everything else on sand.
Amen.
It can shift and move.
Amen.
And our house will go flat.
Mm-hmm.
The wise man knew that the foundation was the most important part of his home. With us in our lives, the foundation of our life is the most important part of our life. It affects our perspective.
Amen.
It affects the way that we see this world.
Mm-hmm.
And that foundation has to be firm. My sister works in construction and builds big, high skyscraper building things. Well, she doesn't build them. She takes care of the people who get hurt building them. But when you're building a skyscraper, you can tell before the first walls go up how big that skyscraper is going to be, right? How can you tell, Shannon?
By the footprint of the foundation.
By the footprint of the foundation. By how deep they dig into the ground, right? If that is going like way down, you know that's going to be a real, real tall building, right? The foundation is the most important part. If they just laid a couple bricks on the ground and tried to build, that building's going to fall over, right? For us in our lives, we have to make sure we're digging deep.
That's good.
Right? Digging deep every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. We never quit laying our foundation. We should put a layer down, and then the next day put another layer down,
mm-hmm.
and then the next day put another layer down. Right? Because the bigger and stronger and deeper our foundation is, the stronger our life will be.
Amen.
The higher we can go spiritually, the more impact we can have on the world around us.
Amen.
Right? What's the great thing about those big skyscrapers that we drive past on 95? You look at them and you're like, wow, look how big, look how shiny, look how pretty. That's what we want to be. We want to be a city on a hill.
Amen.
Right? We want to be a light in dark places.
Yes.
And the only way we can have that impact is to have a strong foundation.
Amen.
Okay? So, how do we get this foundation? We're living in a world that has become narcissistic. Okay?
Yeah.
We're living in a world where everybody's about selfie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? About posting on Instagram. About, this is what I, my story on Facebook. Right? Whatever you've done, it's all about me, and hey, look at me, and how pretty or handsome I am, and look at my life, and ooh, it's so awesome. It's all about me, right? God wants it to be nothing about us. We are supposed to be a reflection of Him. When people look at you, if they don't say, hey, there's God doing something in that life, then we need to reevaluate how we're living our life, right? We're supposed to be a reflection of Him. It's not supposed to be all about. No, I'm not saying don't put your picture on Facebook. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when people look at your life overall, what are they seeing?
Amen.
What are they seeing? What do they experience when they come in contact with you? When somebody crosses paths with you, do they say, wow, look at God. Look at the footprint that they leave on the world.
Amen.
So there's this song that I hear on the radio, and it's a song that always makes me stop and think, right? It's by a guy named Brandon Heath. He's a Christian artist, and he sings this song called Give Me Your Eyes. And it's about his perspective on the world. The chorus goes, give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. It's his prayer to God. God, open my eyes to the world around me.
Amen.
Open my eyes to the people who need you that I can help.
Amen.
Open my eyes to the hurting people in this world who are overlooked.
Amen.
By everybody else. Mm-hmm. Change my perspective. Mm-hmm. So that my perspective is your perspective.
Amen.
Right? Help me not be inward focused. Help me look out and see what you see, Lord. And it says, God, give me your eyes for just 1 second, because that's all it would take.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If we could see the world through God's eyes, it would change us forever.
Yeah.
When we think about the stories of, in the Bible, of men who had visions that God gave them, they were changed forever. Right. And they impacted the world around them because of that just one vision. Mm-hmm. So as Christians, we should strive to see this world through God's eyes and live our lives as a reflection of Christ and his love. How do we get God's perspective on the world? We study his word and we pray.
Amen.
There has to be a balance of both. When we study his word, he's talking to us through his word. His word is alive and living. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and leads us and guides us through it. Right? So we need his perspective is in his word. That's how we get to know him. That's how we get to know what he wants for us, is by reading his word, getting into it, studying it. When we recognize that God, the God of the universe, the God who looks down, even from higher up than Google Maps, and sees everything, but he doesn't just have one view, the big view and the little view, he has it all, right, all at the same time.
Yeah.
Wow. He can see into the heart of me, at the same time that he's looking over all of humanity. Mm-hmm. And he's seeing into the heart of you. And he's seeing into the heart of you.
Amen.
He's seeing into the heart of you. He sees it all. Mm-hmm. Right? He's got that great big perspective. And he can lead us and guide us, but only if we know his word. And through the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us through his word. So many times, I'm guilty. At night, I do my devotions, and I'm like, okay, God, I got to get through. I have a Bible reading plan, you know, an app that takes me through a section every night. I'm like, oh, okay, God, let me just listen to it while I'm in the shower so I can say I did my Bible devotions, right?
Sure.
Well, that's God speaking to me, right? That's the word of God, and I'm washing my hair, right? No, he wants us to dig deep. How deep is my foundation going if I'm washing my hair while I'm listening?
That's right.
Now, there's nothing wrong with listening to the Bible while I'm washing my hair, but am I digging deep?
No.
Okay. I need to dig deep. I need to know him, right? That's what I think we need to do. We need to dig deep into his word and understand that he's talking directly to you through his word. And the great thing about the word of God is that it never gets old. You can read the same passage 15 times, and every time get something new. That's because it's God sharing. He's giving you that higher perspective. All right, yesterday I gave you this perspective on the word. Mm-hmm. Let me lift you up a little bit.
Amen.
And give you a higher perspective.
Amen. Again.
And the next day you read that same passage, let me lift you up a little higher and give you a higher perspective. That's what we need to do. We need to dig deep. I have some examples here of people in the Bible who we recognize the impact that God had on them by their perspective on the world. The first one is Abraham. In Genesis 13, if you want to turn, I'm just going to give you a little overview of what happens here. Abraham is, he's grown, he's got lots of servants, his nephew Lot has grown up with him as well. He has lots of servants. They have lots of cattle and sheep and all kinds of stuff. And they keep running, their shepherds keep running into each other. There's become some problems. Not enough room for everybody. Abraham takes Lot up on top of a mountain, right? And he says, look out over this, all of this space. You choose which way you want to go. I'll choose which way I'm going to go. And nobody, we won't fight. We're family. Mm-hmm. Why should we be fighting? Why should we be having trouble? Right? Why should we be doing this? There's no point in it. You go whatever direction you want to go, and I'll go in the other direction. Right? It's important to note as you read that passage that Abraham was in a place where he had been before, and the Bible points out that Abraham had given offerings to the Lord at some point. So Lot looks around, right? Two different perspectives here. Lot looks around and he's like, ooh, look, the water goes down that side. It's all pretty. Hey, look, there's a city right there. I can go shopping when I want to. I'll go down there. Let me pick the very best for me, right? And he does. And Abraham blesses him and he goes. And then shortly after, Abraham has another experience with God. And God says, I'm so proud of you. You did the right thing. And this is my, you know, version, clip notes. And he says, I'm going to bless you so much, you can get it all.
Yeah.
You can get it all.
Yeah.
I'm going to bless you so much. Right? Abraham's perspective, we see through that, was not all about him.
That's right.
Right? It wasn't about, well, you know what, really, Lot, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have nothing. So you just need to go find a place to be. Mm-hmm. Right? How many of us would be like that? Mm-hmm. But Abraham was. And because of his perspective, because of the way he looked at the world, God blessed him.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the passage, Abraham gives another offering to God. We see that footprint in his life, that impact in his life. And all you have to do is read about the life of Abraham to see he had impact wherever
Amen.
He went. Was he perfect? Definitely not. Mm-hmm. Nobody is. Nobody was except for Jesus. But he had impact because of the way he viewed the world. Because of his deep relationship and trust in God.
Amen.
He had an impact. Well, we all know what happened to Lot. Right? He thought he was choosing the best. And his human perspective and wisdom, he thought, hey, I'm getting a good deal out of this. Well, human perspective gets us all messed up. That's why we need to dig deep every day.
Amen.
Build that foundation and say, God, what way do you want me to go today?
Amen.
What choices do you want me to make today? We move on a little further and we meet up with David as he's bringing the ark back to the city of David. It had been away for what, some time? This is in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16, if anybody wants to turn there. So David is bringing the ark. It was stolen by the Philistines, and they kept it for a week or two, and it kept causing all kinds of stuff going on bad for them. So they're like, we need to get rid of this thing. They built a cart and shooed the donkey, and it ran away and ended up in some guy on the warder's house. He was blessed for like 50 years or something crazy like that. Just blessing upon blessing. His household was growing. He was getting rich. All of his animals was having babies. He was like doing good. And David's like, we need to bring that into the capital because that blessing needs to be here. The ark represented the presence of God, right? The ark represented, it wasn't like some powerful, mystical thing, but it represented God's presence. Alright, the covenant he had made with his people saying, I am going to bless you. I have promises that I've made to you. And David said, we need to get it back. Took some time, but finally David is bringing it back into the city. They did research on how they were supposed to do it right. And he is ecstatic, right? He is dancing and praising the Lord and jumping up and down. A lot of us saw the parade recently for the Capitals, right? It's the first time that the DC team has won anything in like 25 years or something. And people who have never watched a hockey game before in their lives were sporting Capitals gear and going to the parade and, oh yeah, hockey on the sand. Okay, you can probably never watch a game again. But it's because in our area we haven't had really any winning teams, right? So people just jumped on the bandwagon. It was so exciting. And if you watch, I mean, I saw where they were riding in a boat along the Potomac River. People are on the sides, like, just going crazy, right? So if you can get that picture in your mind, the people were ecstatic. They were so happy to have the ark returning to where it should be. They were dancing, they were praising, they were leaping. It was crazy. Well, here is Michael, one of David's wives, and she's looking out a window at her husband down the road, acting like a fool. Like, he is the king. He needs to not act like that in the presence of all those regular people, right? She had a different perspective, didn't she? She wasn't at all concerned about the great thing that God had done in allowing them to bring the ark back. She didn't even have any, it didn't seem like any kind of spiritual foresight at all. All she was worried about was the appearance of her husband. What did other people think about him? What would other people think about her? Right? David didn't care. He was dancing. He was praising the Lord. He didn't care who was watching. In our lives, so many times, how many times do we push down that urge to worship? Because somebody might be watching. Mm-hmm. Somebody might think, oh, they're a little bit crazy. They're Jesus freak, right? When I was a teenager, that was a big popular song by DC Talk. Jesus, what will people think when they see that I'm a Jesus freak? Right? Who cares? We need to have the perspective, who cares what people think, because I serve the God of the universe. Yeah. Right? Yeah. The God of the universe, his perspective. Right. I don't care what somebody I don't even know on the street or somebody I do know who doesn't see God the way I see him.
That's right.
I don't care what they think about the way I worship him. Because he deserves my worship.
Amen.
He deserves my worship.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what people think. But you worship, the Bible says to worship in spirit and in truth. Not everybody worships the same way.
That's right.
Not everybody's going to dance and sing and holler. Some people cry when they worship. But it's true and it's pure worship. Some people pray quietly to themselves in worship. If it's true to you, then that's how you worship.
Amen.
It's not for me to judge. Oh, they're not being loud enough.
Right.
Oh my gosh, they're being too loud. Oh, they're not dancing enough. Oh, what kind of dance is that? That's not for me to judge. For me, I need to worship God the way it's true to me.
Amen.
Through my personal relationship with God. When I worship him, it's out of a heart of love and gratitude because he has done so much for me. And because of the perspective that he has given me. And I pray that he will continue to open my eyes. To continue to see the world the way he sees it. To continue to build my foundation.
Amen.
That should be our goal in this life, is to continue to build on the foundation of what God has already done for us. Finally, if you want to go to Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. This is where Jesus tells his disciples to let the children come to him. Jesus is out. He's preaching. There's crowds. Kind of get in your mind when he fed the 5,000 and different types. People were always crowding around Jesus. I mean, hey, he was feeding them. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. Who doesn't want to be around that guy, right? So crowds were always around him, always wanting to receive from him, all right? But no crowd, no wild person can get in front of a mother's love, I'm going to tell you. And these moms were coming up, and they were wanting to present their children to Jesus. I'm telling you what, if I had the opportunity to bring my kids and have Jesus himself put his hands on it, you know I'd be there. Right? Forget about Black Friday sales. I'd be knocking people all over the place, right? So they want to get to Jesus. They're going to the disciples and saying, please let me bring my child to Jesus. I just want him to pray for them. I just want him to touch them. Just put his blessing on them. And then the disciples are like, get your little snotty nose kids out of here. Do Jesus has other stuff to do, right? He's too busy to mess with some little kids. But Jesus, when he sees what's going on, what does he say? He says, bring them to me. Bring the children to me. And even more than that, unless we become like little children in our faith and our humility, we can't get to heaven.
Okay, so.
Right?
So he's saying, not only are these children important to me and valuable to me, but you need to be like them.
Amen.
You need to take note from little kids.
Amen.
Little kids don't care who's watching, right? Yeah. Little kids don't care if it's not gonna embarrass them if they run towards somebody. How many times have you seen a little kid and a grandma, grandpa, somebody special comes and they just run to them, right? They just run. That's what they want to do. And we're all like, calm down. Right? Jesus says, I want you to run to me. More than that, I want you to run to me.
Yeah.
Just like a little kid would. Run to him. He's our Father. He loves us. He wants good things for us. He maps out a path for our lives. Run to him. Run to him. And don't worry about who's watching.
Right.
Don't worry about what people think of you. Because it's all about him anyway. And until we get that perspective in our lives that it's all about God, then we're missing something. We're always going to have something missing in our lives. So I like to listen to this pastor named Tony Evans. And he says, faith is acting like you believe what God says. Okay? So God wants us to have faith in him. He wants our faith to be strong. How can we have faith? By acting like, living like we believe what God says.
Amen.
And how do we know what God says? We know by digging into his word.
Right.
By seeking him daily. By saying, God, what is it you have for me today?
Mm-hmm.
God, what purpose do you have for my life?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, open up doors for me to go through. Lord, help me to see where you're at work so I can join you in
Amen.
That work.
Amen.
Because if we're joining God in what he's doing, we will always be successful.
Amen.
Whether we see the success or not, we can know that we are planting seeds
Amen.
That will bear fruit
Amen.
Because his word will not return void.
Amen.
And if we are joining him, we will be successful.
Amen.
We will have success. So today I want to challenge each one of you to ask God to open your eyes, to give you a higher perspective, and to lead you where he wants you to go. Every day this week, say that prayer. God, open my eyes so I can see this world the way you see this world, and help me to join you in what you're doing.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. Each month, we have people from all over the world who listen to the messages made available. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a lost for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.